Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge War of the Worlds 2 wrap-up podcast for episode 12. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Asher. Allie, how are you?
I never thought I'd be so happy to hear you say my two names as one name, Brian. I'm so happy I don't have to be introducing the show. It's only been 2 weeks, and I feel like I've been doing this alone for years.
I know, I'm back. Is this thing on? I feel like I did like a challenge binge. I was watching it the old-fashioned way, just like catching up on episodes, catching up on podcasts. It was like free. It was weird. It was fun.
I know. Isn't it like nice to be away? It's like sad to say.
It's always nice to be away.
That you haven't taken like a long hiatus. Like I, you know, with finals and stuff, took a couple weeks off at the end of every season.
No, I usually only miss episodes when I like pass out and miss the recording. But yeah, this was a full-on 2 week hiatus.
I feel like people want an update. I've been giving updates all over town about your life on various different podcasts.
Besides the challenge binge, I've been doing like an Allie Asher podcast binge because I listened to your two ones you did on the challenge. And then I'll be honest, I didn't make it through the whole like 3 hour podcast with Rob. I made it like halfway in. I'm like, after listening to your voice for like five straight hours, like, all right, I think I need a break.
No offense taken. Imagine how I feel.
But I mean, they were great. I liked all. It's fun hearing about your wedding from a guest. So it was like fun hearing from your perspective. I'm glad you had such a good time.
And if you had listened to Rob and Akiva.
That I didn't listen to.
No, when did I say? No, maybe I said it at the end of the beginning of Rob's podcast. I did some nice Brian Cohen shade where he like said that we were recording. Oh, he said at the end of the Davey interview that him and I were recording late because I was attending your wedding.
Right.
And then I said on Rob's interview that's the most like at play that you've gotten on.
Yes, RHAP. I heard that. That was a good chat. It's true.
But I don't know. Plainview Sue could be anywhere listening and shading me for being shady. So I don't want to.
Anytime you mention her name, she glows with joy.
At your wedding, she said, "You gonna say nice things?" I was like, "Ooh."
It was not even a joke. When I went up to her and I said, I have someone that you have to meet. She shot out of the chair like I was introducing her to like Jesus. She was
I
like, oh,
Jesus,
my God,
Brian.
Is it Allie? I got to meet Allie. She was beyond giddy. So
it was a true highlight. And I have to say, I did my homework because, first of all, two very funny things. And now I can't even remember what I said on whatever podcast. Who cares? You weren't there and you probably didn't even listen. Who knows how far
you
got.
No, I heard one
thing.
I could offer one clarification, or do you want to like not forget your points you're going to make? Because I won't forget mine.
I'm not making any points. We have there's someone's going to ask a question. So let's wait for you to answer this. I have one question and it might be about that. But like,
okay.
The Plainview Sue thing is amazing because I did my I did my homework knowing I was going to meet PVS. No, I made sure to like keep abreast of what was happening with Teresa Giudice.
Oh, of course.
And there was a big interview between her and her husband and Andy, and I didn't get the chance to watch it, but I like read articles. I was on it. And so you bring PVS over. What is hilarious is she asked you to take a picture of us, me and her.
Right.
And then the girl I was sitting
like,
next to.
It's not like I'm not involved in the day. Like, can you take a picture of me and the real star?
It was so, that was just so funny. And then the girl, very nice girl, who is actually a person who went through with your now wife, reading our, I should start, let me step back. First of all, I met Akiva this week and he was like, how'd you do with Brian's wedding? And I was like, not only did I say hello to Brian, but Brian's mom asked him to take a photo of me and her. But so anyway, I'm sitting next to someone who went to Northwestern, where your wife went, where I went. And I sit down at the table and she's like, where? So much for this being a quick podcast, Brian. I'm sorry. I sit down.
Well, to be honest, there's not much that has happened in like this episode or any episode recently. So like, I don't need to discuss Carr being like a horrible person and like the UK people being still stupid idiots. So we can just discuss this for an hour. That's fine with me.
You know, reality TV has been so terrible this week. And like, God forbid we don't be like Kara and we just celebrate someone getting married. Okay, it's fine. Yeah. Like we're here.
I'll say this: of all the bad things, Kara like blowing off an engagement party, she's looking pretty good in the grand scheme of reality TV this week.
So I sit down and I'm like, oh God. Okay. I was actually texting Rorik most of the wedding, and I was like waiting to go in after the cocktail or during the cocktail hour. I was like, you know, I don't know anyone here. And like, I would do the thing where you like sit down with people like who look like your age. Like, I don't really know anyone, right. But like, I'm going to sit here and eat this.
How was the food?
I was going to say I got to like put in a little Haley Strong. She didn't ask me, but I feel like she's interested. Great. First of all, great selection. I enjoyed your like around the world theme.
Yes, that was
I felt that throughout. It was a not nice reality like, TV subtle that theme.
I saw you said you were not at the gym. It was not a reality theme wedding. Although I guess that would be kind of cool. There were some. I listen to your podcast. I know you heard her vows when she called me Soul Survivor and HOH.
What do you mean? I heard it. I was there. No, I mean, I was listening in the other room.
I heard you like, look, some people like, you know, ceremony, you don't listen to what people are saying. I sometimes doze off. So you heard it. That's great.
Who was I going to be talking to? That was the most exciting part. I was there. Like, and I was a part of it. Not really. Accidentally. I was in like I'm in every shot of every speech, Brian.
I'm very excited for me to start walking down the aisle and you'll be like over my left shoulder, like watching the whole time. This is going to be great.
Well, I'm not because I was like, okay. So I don't think I explained it right. I don't think I will be in any of the footage of you down the aisle. I will be in the speech. I was like directly. Well, you know,
speeches
where I was
sitting. Definitely will be because they were right next to you.
It was very horrific. Funny. It was horrific. But no, the aisle situation was more like when you entered in, like it was an L shape or like a T, right? You entered from the door and you walked straight, yep. Not down the aisle, like straight towards me, basically. And then you turned and walked down the aisle. So I was basically like over the shoulder of the cameraman, LOL reality TV, the videographer. And so I will not be in the picture. It's the speech. It was just like
for the speeches though.
Emily, I don't know Emily at all. She looked absolutely beautiful. It was like, I was crying the whole time. Like, whatever. Who am I? I don't even know you. And I'm like crying at your wedding. But, I was like, I looked up and saw you. Cause it was also, you kind of took everyone by surprise, right? Music was playing. People were drinking again. Can't say enough about the pre-wedding alcohol.
Yeah. I was glad you got the champagne. We made sure of that. We were like, we want people starting to get a little buzz going down to the ceremony. We want people drunk.
Rourke, so, maybe my friend Hunter, who I had brunch with before, was like, oh, there might...
That's something else we have to discuss.
Brunch?
No, Hunter. That I am like the biggest Hunter fan in the face of the earth now.
Oh. I was like, you don't know my friend Hunter? I was so confused. I was like, well, how do you know Hunter? All right.
No, but,
right, table the alcohol content. Who cares? Whatever. The wedding was amazing. We have a question and then we'll talk about Daniel Shelley says, what was the chain smoker song that Brian walked down the aisle to?
So
is that what
closer.
You were going to address?
Yes, that's what I was going to address because I saw that. So it was closer. And the story is, so that was, we started dating in 2016 and that was when that song like really like blew up. So our first like road trip, that song probably played like 50,000 times. And just every time we would just sing it over and over again. So we actually went to a wedding in May and someone used like a instrumental of Despacito. And we thought that was really cool. So then we used an instrumental of Closer.
It was nice because like everyone was like, you know, drinking. Well, not, I mean, I was drinking. And then the music was playing the whole time. But then it was like that song came on. And you don't normally think of that as like, here comes the groom music. And then the doors open and I see Brian and Plainview Sue and Brian's dad, who's like not a famous internet celebrity.
Plainview Barry.
And that's not going to catch on. and then it was interesting because like, I don't know if you felt that the room was like not ready for you, but then it was like, it was like a hush fell over the crowd.
Because when I was walking in, I saw no one really looking at me. I was like, oh, that's fine. Please, there's no one looking at me. That'd be great. And then everyone looked at me and I was like, oh boy, here we go.
but honestly, like, I don't know how the rest of this podcast, it was good. Maybe that we took two weeks off after, because like, it's just, I don't know how you view my life, right? Like, I've obviously known Emily's been in the picture for a while because you texted me like, I'm dating a Northwestern girl, like whatever, who knows otherwise if I would have even known you had a wife. but we talk all the time about the show, but we don't like hang out. And people always ask me this, like, oh, you and Brian like record in a studio. No, we like don't see each other. We've seen each other maybe like five times.
Yeah. I think it might even be less than that.
Less than that.
It's really one of the most bizarre relationships like I've ever had. It's like not like it's like you outside of like Emily, like you were genuinely the person I probably genuinely speak words to more than like anyone.
I like how you can't say talk. Like this isn't talking. We speak words.
Because it's not like texting, like literally just like talking. Because we never really text. We just only talk on a podcast. It's like the most bizarre like 1970s relationship. We only talk on the phone. But like we also have like we lived in the same city for a while, but then we didn't. But we only see each other. It's a very odd relationship. But I like it. It's ours.
And I do feel like I know you reasonably well. But I also being at your wedding was a very weird experience because it was like, oh, I don't know you at all, right? Like I do, right. But it's like, oh, look at your friends. Like you have a life. Like obviously, I knew who Emily was. I knew what she looked like because I went to college, whatever. But like. Oh my God, like you have a pretty nice thing going on. Like I was like, I told Plainview Sue, I was like, I think the podcast is broken. Like, it's like why Corinne couldn't do her brutal cast assessment. Not that I like brutally assess you, but I was
that was one of the nicest things you've ever said to me or about me.
What did I say?
That you just like, happy for me. You were just so happy.
Of course
you can't be mean to me.
I was happy for you. But it was like
I can't be mean to you. That was so nice.
Well, it's just like you're like, you know, it's like I've seen behind the curtain. I've seen like things right. I shouldn't see. And now I'm like, now I was like, I think I responded to one of your Instagram stories. Like, I'm like, now we're friends, Brian. Like, we should hang out. I was like looking at Emily and Brian. I'm like, why don't I hang out with these people?
We could do happy hour.
This is a nice thing happening. Like, I think the first time you asked me to get drinks, like when we had never met, I was like, I don't know. And you were like, we should meet. And I was like,
we should meet at least once. Because then it was like, we were doing this. Like, we should at least like know what each other look like and like have any sense of like a face to face.
We now also like, worked on the same block. Like, I feel like, I don't know if that's well known to most of the audience. Like, we were, people ask me this all the time. We were matched up randomly by Rob. That's a whole nother story. But we coincidentally, if anywhere in the world we could have been, we worked on the exact same city block in New York.
Right.
And Brian, like a normal, well-adjusted, now married human, was like, we should interact. Like, we should shake hands and say hello. And I was like, I'm fine.
The best part is, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just scroll through, like, past, like, DMs. It took us a while to even get off, like, just DMing to set up the podcast. I don't know if you remember. Like, I think we did the first four. And eventually I'm like, no, we should probably just, like, start texting.
And was I resistant to that?
Like, no, you're like, yeah, I guess so. Here's my number. I was like, okay. And I was like, it was just very funny. The first few were, like, just do Twitter DMs.
Just imagine if this is, like, a semi-professional relationship. Imagine what people who are like dating me must have to deal with. But I'm like, you know, maybe we shouldn't even meet. It's fine.
Well, I'm very excited for the future Ali Lasher wedding, and I'll be set up right near the camera guy. And then I have to make sure I'm seated right near the speeches so we can do this the opposite.
Maybe you'll be making a speech. I should have taken the mic. I should have been like, look, guys, I'm more comfortable behind the mic. Hey, everyone, I'm a stranger to the bride and to mostly the groom.
Oh my God. Too funny.
Is that it? Do we have anything else to discuss? I'd rather talk
about
this.
Oh, what'd you think of the funfetti?
Oh, delicious. And I got funfetti because it was sort of like a random.
Yeah. What's funny is actually I liked the other one better because we had it later.
Screw you.
I thought the chocolate one was better.
Well, but, you know, that's your fault for having a B cake and an A cake.
Yeah.
I had no complaints.
It was good.
Oh, but what I was saying before, and we got cut off, and I don't know what made it into the show and what didn't, but who cares? So I was like gonna at some point sit down with random people and be like, hi, like we're about the same age. I'd like to eat my delicious mac and cheese from the mac and cheese trio bar sitting down, please. But I was dreading someone being like, how do you know the bride and groom? And now I could very easily lie and be like, oh, I went to Northwestern with Emily. But I didn't know any of her friends. So like I could have accidentally sat down with Northwestern people and said that. And I couldn't for the life of me remember where you went to college. Do you go to Binghamton?
I did.
Oh, okay.
You could have looked it up. You had a phone.
Ryan, I'm holding mac and cheese and a delicious fall-themed cocktail in my hand.
Oh, that fall sangria was great.
I had the gin and apple cider thing.
Oh, okay.
Which was also great.
The one with the cinnamon stick was delicious.
Mine had cinnamon sprinkled on it. It was lovely. It was lovely.
Lovely. Lovely.
But so you think I'm going to put my drink or my cheesy pasta down to look up where you went to college? I mean, I'm nice to you now, but not that nice.
No, that would be insulting to put all that stuff down.
Well, what a nightmare it would be to say, I know the groom because we do a podcast together. Like, I couldn't even think of a lie, you know, like I could have been like, we work together. So I sit down.
You said work.
I sit down at the table I've been assigned to. And I was the last to arrive to the table. So it's just like one seat. I take it. I'm next to this couple. I say hi. She's like, what? And I'm like, oh, you went to Northwestern. Everyone went to Northwestern here. Like, I also went to Northwestern, but I actually know Brian, not Emily. Ha ha. What a fun anecdote. And
what a fun story.
And she says, oh, do you podcast with Brian? And I'm like, God fucking damn it. I was like, for 2 seconds, like not having to talk with her. She's the one who went through with Emily and read all of your like.
Oh, all the comments.
Comments. So I happened. Yeah. Out of 15 people at the table or whatever, I happen to be next to the only person who's going to out me as the weirdo. They were very, very nice people. It was totally fine. But
yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
but it was a great day.
I think I have oh, you know what I wanted to say to you? There was a gentleman with the finest purple velvet loafers I have ever seen.
Oh,
do you know who that is? Someone in your family or something was wearing like royal purple velvet shoes, and I was like, I would like to be friends with this man. Please,
I don't. I'll have to look at pictures. I'll let you know who had the purple shoes.
Get back to me. It's a strong look. You had a strong look. You did the black shirt, black jacket. It looked good.
Black on black.
I texted Rourke.
Shout out to Joe Jonas. He inspired it.
I was like, Brian looks good. Got to give it up to him. It was a good look.
I tried to impress.
And Emily, of course, I mean, looked much better than you, but you looked fine.
Of course, that's no doubt. That's no doubt. I just try to get in the same stratosphere.
All right. What have you, I mean, who cares about the challenge? Did you miss the last 2 weeks? Did you watch it?
I did. I watched both. I think I'm starting definitely agreeing with you about the 90 minutes. I think we've reached the stage where, 60 minutes would suffice. It's, a little bit stretched out. But it's been good. Your coverage has been good. I've enjoyed Jofo, and I enjoyed the picture of Johnny Langan without his shirt. That provided some interesting color to the other podcast.
Talk about looking good.
And Carr is just the worst. I mean, she is just genuinely just such a miserable, sad, just horrible person, and just can't enjoy anything in life and has to try to suck the joy out of it.
I just can't. Like, I feel like, and maybe it's because I'm coming to... Obviously, recording that, not obviously, we are obvious to us. We're recording this on Thursday. Survivor happened on Wednesday. It was 2 hours of pretty much just like heavy, heavy shit. And luckily, it's not our job to talk about that. But today, people who watch at work, people who don't watch at work, but are friends with Kelly in real life, people who just know me through RJP, the women podcasters I talk to, because like Shannon Gates was so amazing. Like, I have talked about what happened last night in Survivor to 500 people all day today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming to the challenge like, all right, let's just like unwind here. Let's have some fun. And it's just not fun. Like, where is the joy in the season? Like I just don't. This whole episode, as you said, like nothing is happening. The challenges are inconsequential. They have been for pretty much the whole season. TJ's getting pissed off. Like the engagement.
He was it was classic disappointed TJ look.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, our favorites are floundering. Like, we'll talk about CT, but like, dear God, like I don't even know if I would continue. This is going to be harsh. I don't know that I would continue watching this season if I wasn't podcasting.
So I was thinking about why this season is like, I think the biggest thing that honestly is just attracted from this, the fact that the US team just like won everything. And like, even when the UK lost, it was all manipulated. The fact that it was never really a balanced team where one would win, the next one would win, it would go back and forth. It was just so dominant. I think I would like to see a version of this type of season where the UK just didn't suck so much. Like if they won in the early going, and it mixed things up between who was in power, who was going to eliminations, who was. I think that's the biggest catalyst to what has led to this end game of this season, just how much of a dominant force Paulie, Cara, and the US team have been.
Well, I'll ask you this, and I think we've talked about this before, although I've been, you know, making the rounds on co-hosts these days. I don't know if this was you or someone else, but like, I want to ask again at this stage, is the team format broken?
I think the only thing that's broken is, and I think we both liked the idea of this in the beginning, was the fact that you can vote someone in from your own team. I think that almost has detracted from the season more because it's given reason to throw challenges, to go to do different things that have taken away from what we like about a team challenge. So I almost would like if it was just random teams and then they can reshuffle it and just there's no like voting in your own team.
I agree with that. And I think that's what we've discussed, or not we, you, I think have said that to your credit before. I look at if I'm somebody who makes the decisions in production, right? Like I'm looking at the season, there's no way they're happy with it. Like this, even just from the small listenership we have, right? Like we went from sometimes at our peak, we'll have like 60 questions, 40 questions. We had 8 questions this week. And like, because who the hell has anything to ask about this? You know, like I don't feel like people are engaged. I'm sure people are still watching, but I don't feel like this has the fandom like sort of locked in. And maybe that's just me being naive, whatever. Like I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, forget it. We tried a team season and that's it. It doesn't work. And maybe it's because of that little nuance of being able to vote yourself in. Although I think it's more what you said also earlier about the US just being too dominant, because even if they couldn't vote themselves in, they'd throw the challenge to be able to put themselves in, or like to have the UK put who they want to put in, you know, like it's just so insane to me and unpredictably so that the UK would continue to make these decisions to completely demolish their team, to have the attitude of better to make a final than be able to win, which is just wild.
Especially because it seems pretty clear, at least at this point, that the final is going to be run in teams. And if you lose the final, you don't get any money. So what would be the difference of not making the final or getting there and losing? So I think even if they just spelled out the rules from the beginning that people knew specifically, you're going to be in teams the entire time. If you get to the final and lose, you get nothing. Play with, that's the rules, and now go. So like almost thinking that they could have been individual and maybe there's like a first, second, third place prize, like all these like ambiguities that we've seen in other seasons that they thought might come into play here, which could explain some of their decisions. If they just knew out of the gate, like this is what's happening and follow these rules, then maybe the decisions would be different.
And somebody, a listener, said something like, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was like, oh, Kaylee's got the attitude of like, you have to make it to the final to win a final. And sure, that works for Kaylee and maybe that works for Josh, for when Josh was like turning on his own team, like, but the people left, like Rogan, Josh, like the people who are confident in their athletic ability, right? Like to me, that doesn't answer that, because they don't need, if they were playing the game the way they should be playing the game for their own team, sure, the Kaylees of the world would have to watch out because they would be on the chopping block. So it's better for them maybe to just play the numbers game, but not for somebody who would be saved as an asset to the team.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand wanting to do the numbers when you lose, but like especially for like this week, like did they have to go this far out of the way to try to get rid of D? And then they didn't even go through with getting rid of D, but like I understand with the numbers when you have to make decisions, but they're like choosing to make decisions with the numbers when they could just try to win and let the numbers on the other side make decisions. It's just, they're just getting steamrolled in like every facet by the US, strategically, physically, mentally. Like they're just not thinking on their own and doing anything on their own. It's that's like the biggest is the UK just a bunch of dimwits.
Well, the other two things on that. One is like that was what was so wild about this episode is like D was with their numbers. So it's almost like they're suddenly Rogan gives an S about winning the final after he literally was instrumental in voting out their two best physical players in Theo and Georgia. Now he's like, oh, you know what? Now that I've decimated my own team, mm-hmm. I got to get rid of my closest ally who's going to suck at the final. Like, where was that a while ago? But well, I guess we'll get to that. But like, if I'm going back to like, is the team challenge broken? I almost think not only did this format suck, but it's almost like because I'm curious what you think about this. I'm still sort of working this out because I just watched the episode like an hour ago. Because of the way that the challenge is, where it's constantly returning cast and there's a lot of pregame alliances just in the form of pre-existing relationships, we see it very clearly come to a head with sort of Cam and Nani and Leroy and that dynamic. But because mm-hmm. everybody's playing the sort of individual game outside the house, are we beyond the possibility of people being more loyal to their team than they are who they've decided to work with outside of the house? Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. I think that leads to what the season that we need is like the counter to Rivals is we just have like friends, like either people you draft your team or they just go in with maybe like three teams of eight or whatever it is. And it's clearly the people that all are friends and working together and they're all on the team together. And they just go from that. So it gets rid of the cross alliance teams and they're all just working together.
I'm here for that. I just do worry. And I know we've both said we really do want we've wanted a season like this for a while. I think I would be floored if we got a team season ever again. Hot take.
Yeah, especially a 1v1 team. Like, I could see a group of three, a group of four, something like that, but I don't see any two-team format in the near future.
Right, the big team, I think, is done. And yeah. It's sad. I'm sad to see that, but I can't imagine anybody at MTV, like, feeling like this is a success. Like, I think the ratings, I haven't checked in on the ratings. I think the ratings in the beginning were very good. But I just can't, everybody seems pissed. There's no show to put out. They're putting out just dead air the last, like, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the little engagement party. That was fun.
Oh, that
I was wondering
great.
I was wondering where we were going to go after the challenge. There was, like, 45 minutes left. I'm like, where are we getting to this elimination? And I guess it worked sort of with the whole D thing, but it didn't really work because they stretched that all out, but then didn't even get the scene of them deciding not to vote in D. So if you're going to give us 90 minutes, give us like the full story, not like 75-80% of the story.
Let's talk about the engagement party. I agree. That was a real highlight. Jordan and Tori, very cute. Andrew Shadluck asked this last week, but you weren't here and I didn't know the answer. So he says, how does Brian's proposal to his now wife compare to Jordan's?
Well, I guess mine wasn't on national TV, so I guess it's not as good. Although I guess maybe I feel like you don't want it to be on national TV, so maybe it's better. So I think there you go. There's two ends of the spectrum.
You're not going to.
I thought it was very nice.
I was like, you're not going to give them any information. Just that it wasn't on TV.
It wasn't on TV. It was at a restaurant and it was in private.
In private at a restaurant, like in a separate room.
Yeah, private air. Separate room.
Private room. Classy guy. Black on black.
Yeah.
I thought this was.
I thought Jordan. Go ahead. I thought it was good. I thought his proposal was very nice. I'm wondering why he did it. Because this was his first elimination. I feel like he was in an elimination before. I don't know. But I'm wondering why he did it now. I don't know. But it was very nice.
Yeah. I mean, that. I'm sure Challenge Mania will interview them and they'll talk about what the plan was. Was Jordan like this? People are gonna like give me crap for not even remembering. I'm sorry, this has been a very boring season. When was Jordan in an elimination before?
I guess not, probably, because I think this was his first one. Then he switched, but I don't know. I actually thought it was like a cute, like, you know, nothing would make me happier than bringing down Team US, but except for Tori becoming my wife. I thought that was a sweet, like, you know, it's a solid
my wife.
I I don't even remember what I said. I like blacked out. So I think that was a good line.
Yeah, I'm just looking really quick to see if Jordan was in before. No, this was first elimination. Look, I thought it was perfect. And look, Kara's like the hater, and we've talked about this, but like, oh, it was staged. She says they probably got married before they got there, which I think she means engaged. But
right.
What's hilarious is like only Kara and Polly would do something that calculated. Like, that's not really Jordan and Tori's brand. That's so Kara's brand of like manipulation and social experiment. Yeah. So hilarious. But like, she's like, oh, who would do this? It's literally that proposal was exactly what you would do if you are a challenge couple who met on the challenge. Like, you, I'm sure that restaurant meant something to you. And Emily, like you say, like Closer was the song for the road trip, whatever. People don't know, like, people don't do things like, people do things like this all the time. I proposed where we went to school and we went back there. Like, it's just insane that she's like, she's just so bitter and jealous. Like, I honestly, and that's the other thing too with this episode. It's not fun because, like, to me, the feelings I have towards Kara aren't like fun. Like the feelings I would have towards Bear, right? Like, you hate him and, or Tony, you know, like the people that I have, bananas, like the people I've disliked in the past. Like, okay, but they're a TV show villain. Kara, it's like, who said this? Someone got a confessional being like, I don't know who made Kara so like unhappy and miserable or whatever. Who wasn't there? Yeah,
I think it was Nani, because she like made the point like she really needs to like get out of this world. Like, she's too, where she can't, like, she's lost herself, that she can't separate world and challenge, and everything is like bleeds together. So I guess it's good that she's gonna be off next season. I hit the little reset button for a little bit, because is she really just, I mean, even if you don't like Jordan, just like, don't say anything. It was almost good that she didn't like go to the engagement thing and like be a pout puss the whole time. So I'm glad she kind of just stayed in her room and read. But I mean, good for Polly to like call her out in that moment when after the engagement. And she's like, how can you even say that?
Yeah. And what's interesting, though, is like, I almost don't blame Kara for not being able to separate the worlds, because like, even tracking her life for the last like X years is sort of like, she comes on like fresh meat, right? I'm probably going to misremember this whole trajectory. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that much history. But like, she comes onto the challenge stage, and then like her last X amount of years have been sort of like, her personal life has been marked with the challenge. Like, she dates Abram. Her best friend is Laurel. I mean, that's sort of on the rocks, whatever. People cannot come at me for the history here. I'm just giving a couple points. Like, Abram, her relationship with Abram sort of gets exposed on television for how like troubling and traumatic it is. She cheats or doesn't cheat or whatever, has a cheating scandal on television. He shows up on, like, her real life got so ingrained with the challenge. Her trials and tribulations with Laurel were televised and then not. And now she's dating Polly, who's, again, like, she has this big real life drama blow up with her reality TV star boyfriend and another reality TV contestant, Danielle. Like, it's not like Nani steps away, dates somebody else for 5 years, comes back, or like, you know, Tori has her business and leaves Jordan, whatever. Like, this is like her, all of the, like, her life is like training for the challenge. The challenge funds her. And all of her personal relationships and drama are like on a national stage.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that she really is just like fully. Yeah. At least for Bananas, like, he did branch out and is doing like an NBC show. He's doing something else. Kara really is just training challenge. So I don't know. I'm hoping having a season off will help her, but I don't know. She's still like so ingrained with Polly. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to make for Kara, because this is not, like, this is the lowest version of Kara that at least I can remember.
Do you think we're going to see Kara again?
Oh, I think so, for sure. I'd be stunned if she's not on 36.
I think it depends on what happens with her and Polly. So I guess I don't think her and Polly are going to last, so I feel like she'll be back. But if Polly is truly never allowed back on the challenge, I wouldn't be surprised if Kara doesn't come back. I guess it depends on where you
come back and just get engaged in the middle of a season.
Well, let's not forget that there was a rumor, I forget from where, that Kara and Polly were going to get engaged this season and were like pissed that they got scooped. So like maybe that's going into it. But that's even worse. If like that was your plan and you're just like projecting how pathetic of a plan it is. I mean, it's so pathetic.
Kara. I like Zach's speech, though. That was actually very cute. That he was like nervous and everything. That was like the best Zach moment, I think, of his history.
I agree. I thought that was adorable. And like, just imagine where Joss was. That's me. And like all of your speeches that were also very nice.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked. Great. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was great. It was very funny.
The other thing I really liked, two things. One, first of all, good for Polly for covering. Like, I think Polly definitely knew Kara was abstaining from this. Like, if we know Kara like we think we do, there's no way she just like quietly decided to read a book. Like, this was like made known. And I think when they were like, oh, where's Kara? Polly's like, oh, I think she's like still getting ready. Like, I think that was, I'm going to infer what happened and give him credit. Like, that was a nice way to sort of like deflect the drama of like, she's not coming.
Yeah, because for all Paulie's like craziness, he has a lot of like sensible, normal thoughts. Like the way he was like comparing himself to Jordan, he's like, you know, even though me and Jordan are on opposite sides, like I see a lot of myself in him. I respect him for his like his athleticism. Like I don't like hate him as a person. Like he still is able to see things clearly and separate things that. I wish he would help Kara with that, because that version of Paulie is fun to see.
But then I've struggled because we're seeing Paulie on TV is very likable this season in a likable villain way. Like, you know, he's having these moments with Jordan and Tori on this episode, right? Where they're like, we like each other, but it's our spouses mm-hmm. that fight, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Paulie on social media is not this guy. And this is what I keep wondering is, like, why is Kara, you know, Kara said the thing she said. Like, I'm not saying they, like, Franken bit her into this. Like, Kara is being a bitter Betty. But, like, Paulie on social media is very different than Paulie on this season. And I'm just confused why Kara is getting absolutely buried and Paulie is coming out, like, pretty, like, likable.
Maybe some people just don't know how to handle social media and Paulie just tries to play up his villainous for social media to stay relevant. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation.
The other thing that pissed me off though is Kara's like, this was so fake. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this, Brian. You don't strike me as the type. I probably don't strike you as this type either. But, you know, the person who like pouts in the corner and like to make a point and is like waiting for the person to be like, Kara, we miss you, just come out, like, come on. Mm-hmm. And she's sitting there in the most uncomfortable like posed position reading, honestly the book was probably like, you know, it looked like a children's like
dictionary
book
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly,
like English to Taiwanese, like wherever they are, dictionary.
She's yeah, like, when is someone gonna come in here? Can I get two pieces of cardboard with some pages stapled into it, please? And she's got tea, like a mug of tea, like relaxing like in a robe. And it's like, god damn it, Kara, like, no. And it's like, so what's great is like absolutely nobody came to her and gave her the attention she was looking for. The party was better without her, like you said.
Yeah, it was. Everyone had a great time. And once again, I know like Paulie on social media, but as we've always seen, whenever Paulie is in a scene or anything without Kara, even with Kyle was there, he's always like a much more friendly person. So maybe when he's around Kara 24/7 and is on social media, that plays a role. I don't know.
Cindy Bolin, we sort of talked about this, but she said something similar to you. She said, I kind of appreciate Kara skipping the engagement party. Yes, she was the only one who did, but given her attitude, wasn't it better to not have Debbie Downer at the party?
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be about Kara being, you know, a sourpuss. So I'm glad that they were able to just focus on Jordan and Tori and let them be happy.
The one thing I'll say to Kara's credit is like, it was absolute BS when Jordan's like undercutting Kara as a challenge competitor. Like, what did you make of that vignette?
It's interesting because I believe him when he says that. Like, I think he does question her ability, and we've seen some moments. Like, Kara is obviously one of like the strongest females ever, but there are areas where she really does struggle. Like in the water, she definitely struggles. In puzzles, she definitely struggles. And we've seen those two things be vital parts of finals. So I can understand Jordan being a little trepidatious about how Carl would do in a final?
I don't know. I think it's you make a decent case. You make a better case than
Jordan.
I think he would make
if he and Kara got along, I think he would focus on what she does well and spin it in a positive way. Because they don't get along, he could focus on what she doesn't do well and focus on the negative. So, I mean, obviously Kara is like one of the strongest people, but I do think there's a way to spin it when you're not with Kara that to try to take her down.
And the way he says it, though, is like, and it's the way he talked about Ninja. It's just like, he says, like, I don't care about her challenge record. I just don't see it. Like, I don't see a competitor. Mm-hmm. And it's like, maybe this season, like, her spirit really seems crushed. Like, I'm sort of convincing myself to be worried about her, honestly. But, like, I don't know. Just to be like, I don't care about how many wins she has. She's not a competitor. It's like, Kara is not many things. Kara is many things.
Right.
She's a competitor. Like, I'm not, she's a competitor. Sure, everyone has weaknesses. I think she's earned the right to be considered a great challenge competitor.
Totally, 100%. That you can't take away from her.
Yeah, so there you go. There's one nice thing about Kara. Let's talk about this Cam, Leroy, Nani triangle, because this also is pretty joyless to me.
It was, yeah, I mean, poor Leroy. I just want to see Leroy be happy. Yeah, I think... I hate seeing Nani, you know, in her classic, you know, she comes home from the club dress, you know, snapping all over people. That was like throwback, like 2008 Nani. I guess that was fun. But yeah, I mean, it's I feel like it's a classic. Just like I think everyone knows exactly what, like, Leroy's spelled out what's going on. It's like jealousy, trying to pull one from the other, and for a friendship, love, for a love. It's just not great. At least it didn't get like violent or mean. So there's a plus.
So here's the thing. If you want Leroy to be happy, let me tell you right now, Leroy's happy. He might be stressed, but I think he's enjoying this.
A little too attractive females fighting for his attention.
Yeah, like, Leroy's in a fine position. And as he says to them, to break this up, he's like, I'm good. And he is. Like, and their fight is not going to affect his position in the game at all. Like, that's what's great, too. Like, there's absolutely no... like. It makes no sense that they'd be fighting, especially because Leroy and Nani, Tom, you know, my knowledge, are not romantically involved, or would not be. That doesn't seem to be an issue. Cam, I think, goes a little over the edge, honestly, with this at a night out, but that's sort of Cam's MO. And I agree. The best part of this was Nani coming in with her red dress, like, hiked up, and her cup of noodles and her purse still over her shoulder. She looks like she came out of, like, Romy and Michelle or, like, Night at the Roxbury. And she's just, like, going at it. And Cam also is wearing a pretty retro outfit, like, the hot pink and the choker. So it just felt very, like, 90s, early aughts to me. And I was here for that. But yeah, Leroy's in quite a little pick, an inconsequential pickle.
It was great the next morning of that night, Nani was in bed saying, like, you know, I'm not going to change to fit in with these people. I'm not going to change. Like, Nani, we've been watching you on this show for a decade. We know you're not going to change. This is you. We got that.
I feel like I just got bad deja vu of you saying that. And I can't remember if that's because, like, things don't change and you probably have said that, or if I just have had deja vu.
I definitely have. This is Nani.
Should we talk about the challenge?
I guess so. I mean, I actually thought the challenge before it got derailed by the classic game of rock, paper, scissors was a very interesting challenge. I thought it was creative and like a new type of a format. The old obstacle course in the water with a defender.
Sell me on this, because to me, it looked like a preschool obstacle course at like a gymnastics class.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's like on the ground by yourself, it's super easy.
Sure.
But when you're on like a speedboat going 50 miles an hour on waves and there's someone trying to knock you off, it obviously has a high level of difficulty.
But that's been my issue with the last few weeks of challenges. What you haven't been here is like, I'm watching the show and I have in my notes, Brian, I'm not a bad person. I know you haven't seen my wedding and my friends.
No one said you are.
But I have people in my life who think I'm nice. It says, I'm sure this is hard, .. But, and that's it. It's like, yes, this is a hard challenge. I wouldn't want to do it. No, thank you. No. But I'm watching this on television and I'm here to be entertained and thrilled and at the edge of my seat. And I was for the elimination, spoiler alert. But for this, I was like, really? Like, CT could barely fit through the arches and he's like knocking him over. Like, it just, to me, it looked a little low budget, which is fine, but it didn't look, it didn't have the wow factor of I've had in the past of watching challenges on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. I wouldn't totally disagree. I like things that they haven't really done, or at least they've done, but add a little twist to. I was a little confused when they had the Defender. I thought the Defender was going to be on the boat each time someone went up. I didn't realize that they fell off, that people could just do the course. I was a little surprised that that's how it played out. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to fully judge it just because it just got fully derailed after like halfway in. So, but I was fine with it.
Yeah, let's jump right to that, because TJ even calls out, which must be a first, like during the challenge, tells everyone like, all right, they just threw it. CT's throwing it. Like, they're terrible. They don't care. Wowzers.
Yeah. Were you surprised just how blatant it was? Just him sitting there playing rock, paper, scissors?
Honestly, hot take here. I officially am on record at 11:28 p.m. on November 14th, 2019, that I am or will not be excited to see CT on a cast list for this show until further notice.
Oh, man.
I'm not saying never.
You didn't drop the hard C. No hard cancel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Chris. Chris, to me, is the hard C.
I thought you were going the cancel route. No cancel.
Chris is not canceled.
Okay, he's not canceled.
I'm just dying. I thought the hard C was Chris. That's so good. He's not canceled. I just like...
I thought you were going to cancel him for throwing at the challenge. Josh says he's disrespecting the challenge. Oh, how can he do that to Josh? The legend of the challenge. Josh is offended by actions from CT. I mean, obviously, Josh is the moral authority here.
Josh, who was involved with Laurel and Bananas throwing a challenge, is now the moral center for the throwing a challenge is wrong. No. And it's not that he threw the challenge. It's the accumulation. It's the totality of the circumstances. It's the whole season. It's not this. Sure, maybe it was funny. He was doing the little karate, whatever. I just thought it was embarrassing for him, honestly. Like, for someone who split the baby all season, who was afraid to be on the side, who's like, now it's the time to pick a side. Like, you've already chosen a side. Like, what are you talking about? You're 3 weeks late. And own your shit, too. Like, at the end, he's just like, it is what it is. It is what it is. It is what it is. Like, dude, you didn't need to be this obvious. You could have just fallen off, because guess what? You've been bad and nobody would have looked. If Zach tossed you right off this, which probably would have happened anyway, nobody would have given a shit. And instead, you just like strategically make a terrible move. You upset and actively hurt the feelings of the women on your team for no reason. It's stupid, because you're doing it so that you, I guess he was doing it to get D off, so maybe that's not that stupid, whatever. But like, it just, to me, after he added almost nothing this season, yes, we got funny quips from him, we got dad CT, I like him as a person still, but I just think he's so past his prime, and this was such a sad display that I'm not saying I can't change my mind on this, just until further notice, I'm kind of done with CT on the challenge.
Yeah, it's been a very weird season. I guess I have to give him credit, but it is just so bizarre how he was treated the whole season on the UK team, that not only was he not thrown in, he was just never even remotely considered being thrown in. Like, and I will never really understand how he was able to indoctrinate himself so fully with a group of people that at best he's met once or twice, but really has no relationships with before at all. So I guess give him credit for that, but it is so bizarre.
People might say the same for me being invited to your wedding. How was I able to really get in there when you've died once, twice at most?
Oh, man.
No, but yeah, it's very weird. And also, you would think it would tip him off. Like, again, I really would love to know what these people are thinking about CT. Because again, like, and Jordan kind of comes at him in an aggressive, horrible Jordan way of like, you're not training, you're losing weight, like you're too heavy, like whatever, at the end of the challenge. Mm-hmm. He's frustrated, like, mm-hmm, which is not an excuse, but like, what are they, I guess because everyone's been, their team has been such a disaster that no one's particularly stood out, but I don't see CT finishing the final. And if he's thinking, okay, Joss and Rogan are now starting to flip on the numbers and go after their closest ally because they're doubting her ability to run a final, what are they going to think about me?
Yeah, that's totally on the table. Totally. Yeah, you would think so. Especially, I mean, the people like Joss and Rogan. Rogan has also already gassed out. Joss has like the build of someone in a long endurance that we've seen from Zach that can gas out. So it's all people that are just making odd decisions that have no real standing.
Yeah, since you said that about Rogan, Shelby Hindmiller says, does Rogan have any room to talk about D not being able to handle a final when he has not been into one elimination? And I'll add, and he gassed out episode one, mm-hmm, of his last challenge.
Yeah, and why, like, is D, like, is, are we sure Kaylee is going to do that well in a final? And how is D not more loyal to them than Kaylee is? The Kaylee thing also has never made sense. How is she so indoctrinated to this group? She's never seen an elimination. It's the whole season is just so bizarre with their decisions.
I need more information. Like, I just don't.
I 2 hour episodes.
No, I don't need this. I need, like, I might actually go back and listen to some of the people get interviewed after the season, because just like we're missing so much information because it just doesn't. And that's also what's frustrating about the season. Like, the season doesn't make sense on its face. I shouldn't have to like go to Twitter and listen to podcast interviews and to understand. It's great to have that as a bonus, but I shouldn't have to go to those things to understand why people are acting the way they are on the show.
Right. No, that's 100%. 100%.
All right. We got to talk about Rogan turning on D, because like, not only is he coming up with this, but he says he is, quote, excited to throw in D.
Yeah, this was odd. Did the whole, either the first, the decision to do it, and then how they were going to do it. I don't really understand why they didn't just vote her in instead of Tori, if they really wanted to do this.
Well, that's what Cam says when it gets brought to her, is like, well, why didn't you do your dirty work? I think because from their perspective, they didn't want, I think it was more of a Rogan sensitivity issue, right? Like, I don't want to have to vote, because they would have had to flip. I mean, I guess CT, who could it have been? It could have been Tori, Jordan, Jenny, CT. Like,
I mean, I feel like everyone would have voted in, like, if the D train started rolling, like Tori and Jordan all would have, I think they all would have been on board.
No, that's
vote.
What I'm saying, them, right. But I think the thing is that Rogan and Joss didn't want to have to vote her in, as though this was somehow okay. Better. That's my assessment, is that Rogan was trying to do this as though we lose the challenge, we don't obviously throw it, but we lose the challenge on purpose, and then we put in Tori. And then the U.S. team, against our will, puts in D, and D goes home against Tori.
So they just didn't want to have to deal with the few hours of blowback. They just wanted D to just be completely blindsided and devastated in the moment and then go home, which is even shittier than just blindsiding her regularly. So they're just horrible people.
Yeah, I think Rogan wanted plausible deniability too, of like being involved, because even when D at the challenge is like, oh, did you know he was gonna throw it, he like lies to her. It's like, oh, I thought he wouldn't do that well, but like, I didn't think he would be like that. Like, he blames CT. So I just, yeah, it was too cute. It was like, Rogan's gotten so cocky at how the game has gone his way. It's like, guess what, Rogan, the game's gone your way because you're playing against yourself. Like, you're not doing good decisions for yourself. So if you're sabotaging yourself or the other team, of course it's going to go your way.
Yeah, and those types of like plausible deniability, like, what's the point of that? Because obviously, even if you somehow completely clean, like, D is clueless, she just goes home, doesn't realize it was you, she's going to find out in a few months. So like, what, you're just going to keep dating her, and then all of a sudden you're going to watch this episode and it's going to be revealed just what you did, and she's going to be like, oh, well, okay, we'll stay together. Like, it's going to come out eventually.
Brian, boys are so stupid. Like, you explain this to me. True. Like, I, no, yeah, this stupid. Was, I think he really thought, like, I could still be dating D. And then
he just wanted future Rogan to deal with it. That's what it came down to. He didn't want present Rogan and future Rogan's problem.
Yeah. Who can say, Brian? Who can say?
Crazy.
All right. What else did he even happened? I don't even know. I want to ask you this. Nani says this. Is Cam the reason Leroy joined Polly's alliance? Cam, like, seems... I'm sorry, Nani seems to blame that.
I would say sort of. That probably didn't hurt having her there, but also I think he just saw the way the numbers were going and wanted to be part of the majority. I would have to go back and, like, Jordan was very, like, specific that he swung the numbers. I don't think that's true, but I guess I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because I don't know it specifically as well, but I feel like he saw where the winds were blowing and he wanted to be part of it.
The way that I remember it is that Leroy was, it was like a very big part of the story is like which way Leroy was going to go. And I don't recall it having anything to do with Cam. I think Leroy, to his credit, has been making decisions because he is so desperate to get to the end and win however he can that, I don't think this is about a woman. I think this is about him. And, like, Nani doesn't want to face that. I don't know.
Yeah, and it was not even about money. That was also a good little confessional about how he just really, really wants to win. That's how you know, like, when it really means so much to someone that they, like, don't even think of, like, the few hundred grand that they may win. They just want, like, the title.
I mean, he's still going to get paid. It'll mean...
Yeah, of course.
Approve it when you donate the money to charity. Like, I don't like he's... Right. But yeah, I mean, it's about time. Like, we've been saying this, it's for years. Like, Leroy, though, is, like, one of the great players of the challenge, but he has never freaking won. It's, like, enough already.
I'm worried if he's about to be cut next week, though. That preview of the swimming portion of Purge is getting me a little nervous.
Ugh. Yeah, actually, shoot, you're right. So, like, if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, the preview for next week, like, showed people swimming, cars struggling, and TJ saying that the two pair, the last pair to finish would get eliminated. I was stoked. Like, it's a Purge. Where the hell has this Purge been earlier on to at least try to shake up some of the U.S. people? You know, like, why wouldn't production want things to be shaken up? Like, at this point, to shake it up is like sort of I'm still excited, but who cares?
Yeah, I think it was either the Jonathan Foreman or Johnny, whoever, one of the two podcasts brought up the fact that there were just so many people that went home from outside reasons. I think that had to screw up the timing. There, right. Like, four or five people went home for injuries or like family, whatever it is. Like that, I think that's what caused this for sure.
But if they're doing it now, why couldn't they have done it? You know what I mean? Like if the way the numbers work out, that two people can just get sent home at the end of the episode, why couldn't that have been in the middle?
Yeah. I mean, it's only two people. Like it's not like, usually purges knock out so much more than just like an extra person. Like it's not even like a full purge. So I don't even view this as a purge. I just view this as like a double elimination, basically.
Well, you're right. When I say, but you're right. It's not a purge, but I mean, it's sort of like a challenge happens and the losers go home. There's no vote. There's no strategy. There's no protection. Like,
right.
There's no second challenge. Like you lose this, you leave. Like how Rogan, that would be great if Rogan got sent home again because of this.
That would be unbelievable.
All right. What do we, speaking of Rogan sucks and tells, the plan gets blown up because Polly tells Ninja, which like, duh. I'm sorry. Leroy tells Ninja. And so now Rogan finds out that Dee's going to find out and decides to ask CT to tell Dee what happened.
Yeah. Like it's middle school. Can you find out if she likes me? Can you find out if she hates me?
Like the, postman. CT is going to bring it to your front door.
Yeah.
That was so a great line. I'm going to use that.
Did that go well for Rogan?
He's like, I didn't want it to be an argument. I hate when guys say this. Like, then don't do things like that are clear. Like, oh, you didn't want it to be an argument that you completely plotted against me on the show.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how, like, how would this not edit? Oh, you know what? Oh, you're right. I can't do a final. I'll go prove myself in the elimination and show you. That's how I'll do it. Like, no, obviously she's just going to be incredibly pissed.
I felt so bad for D here, but I got to tell you, they're going to get back together 100%.
Yeah. It was sad. Actually, it was funny to see Ashley doing a better job of building D back up than I feel like Ninja was doing. Ashley has that great like screw men like persona. It's very funny when she brings that out.
Yeah, it was interesting to see her go over there. And I thought Ninja and D were sweet. But yeah, Ashley coming in and being like, people underestimate me. And now I'm like the winningest money winner in challenge history. I love when she says that, like, and but I don't know that I agree where she's like, you don't need to be good. You just need heart. Look at me. Like, I just...
probably did a little both.
Good being otherwise, good doesn't hurt.
It was that Big T that had all the heart, but yeah, it's just a little, that was good. So,
might see her again. Let's talk about this proving ground. Were you surprised that it ends up being Jenny and not D?
Very, because we just had no sense that it was going anywhere else. When the vote started coming and it was 1-1, and it was like, where's the D vote coming? Are we going to get a tie? And then it was just, Jenny was the third vote. I was like, oh, I guess that was the vote. All right.
Yeah, I struggle to understand what happened here, right? Like, Rogan takes credit in a confessional, like, oh, like, he stopped the hit on D. He couldn't go through with it. I think that's complete bullshit. If that's true, he's an idiot, because the damage is done. Don't do a half measure. Yep. You've already faced the consequences, so now just put her in. Or I think what's more likely is, like, why would the U.S. send D in? They want to win. They're making strategic decisions. They're obviously going to send in Jenny. Like, I think he just never actually had the social capital to get the vote done.
Yeah, I think if there was a scene of Rogan convincing Leroy and the tribunal not to do it, they would have had one of those. Like, they've done it before. They're just like a flashback after the fact of being like, of Rogan saying, like, I had a conversation, and then they cut to the conversation and showing what happened, the fact that it didn't. I 100% agree. The Team US was like, no, we're going to make sure either Jenny or Tori get eliminated here.
Yeah, so, like, it's almost like why the whole thing unraveled, because Leroy's telling Cam, and Cam's like, absolutely not. You should have put her in then if you want, because it's like, okay, yeah, sell that to Cam. Like, we would like to make our team stronger and vote out one of our own allies. Cam's like, LOL, no, thanks. In the words of Boston Rob,
instead
of, I was born at night.
It's like,
but
instead,
not last
I'm
going
to vote out. Yeah, instead, I'm going to vote out one of your strongest players and keep someone who now despises the rest of the team to make them even less cohesive.
But I did actually, when I said there's no joy, I think this elimination, it was joyless because it's almost like the winners of these don't matter. It's just like Jenny's going to be the new, or like Tori's going to continue to get put in, whatever. But like, just as the scene of this elimination, I thought it was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. I didn't realize this was the first ever one-on-one version of a hall brawl for women. So that was, I didn't realize that at all, but I mean, it lived up to all the past ones. This was fantastic. Tori, this was one of the more impressive women performances Jenny, we saw her in her elimination climbing that like pole, like cylinder surface, and it was incredibly athletic. And then Tori comes in and just steamrolls her twice. It was incredible.
It was truly, truly amazing. And this shows what Tori's been saying, is like, I'm the most valuable woman on our team because I'm the only person who's done this before. Like Jenny says, you know, it's just so not in my nature to be doing this. Like, I think Jenny's going to come back and be 10 times better at this. That's not to say that Tori couldn't beat her next time too. And that's not to take anything away from Tori, but like, and we've seen like sort of like small and smart can win the day in hall brawl, but that's like not even what she does. She just like physically beats her, you know, like she triumphs over her size wise. I mean, despite having the size disadvantage. And I think experience has a lot to do with it. And so it was a shame to see Jenny kind of go out this easily, quote unquote. But I think it's more a credit to Tori than a discredit 100%. To Jenny.
Yeah, I think 100%. I think this just re-solidifies how great Tori is, especially because in the challenge, she was like the only one to really fail at it before CT threw it. Like for the girls, like it was very shocking to see Tori just fall off immediately. That was disappointing. And then for her to come back around and do this is it was, yeah, this is why Tori's great. And it was hilarious that she gave the same exact speech post-elimination that Jordan did about how, if you want to take me out, you come in here, you do it. I don't know if, like, no one, there was no confessional saying, like, this is the same thing, so I don't know if anyone even realized it, but it was very funny that it was, like, to the T, the same speech.
It killed me, too. I'm glad you said that. It was, that was pretty funny. But yeah, I think she was just, like, fired up, and it was cute.
100%.
Any other thoughts about, I don't know, anything? We've kind of gotten off the rails here, so whatever.
No, I mean, I think, so it's, I think after the double elimination, I think we're up to the final. I think that's what it seemed to indicate. So here we go. We're at the end.
Wait, like, we're going to get a pre-Thanksgiving wrap-up of this?
I feel like it's building towards, like, yeah, the Wednesday of Thanksgiving finale, or maybe right after that. Maybe it's like a two-part final type thing. But I mean, I think they said, like, after this, there's like a female elimination, which was this, and then a double elimination, and then away we go. So I think this is it. I think voting's done.
That is fine with me. No, I miss the podcast when we're off, but I just think the season has kind of just been petering out.
Yeah, and it's all winners in the next spring, right? Is that the show?
Speak it there. I wish we could rush that to maybe February 12th will be then. Maybe this will come out then too. This is, I forget when I wanted to bring this up, but have you noticed that Mike Bloom always brings up on Twitter Out of the Clouds?
Yes. He put that, either he tweeted it to you or to me. I don't know what of his tweets when he, very nicely congratulated me. He put that, I saw that hashtag.
He's mentioned it to me before, and it's so funny that I was like, wow, such a challenge deep cut.
He sent me a very nice DM the next day, like a genuine, like, congrats and, like, wishing you the best of life. It was very nice. So shout out Mike Bloom for listening to this. I really appreciate
it. Brian's a nice guy. Mike Bloom's a very nice guy. I was with him also this weekend.
Oh my God. What the heck? What a conference.
I was at Chester. I don't even know if you know who Chester is.
I do not.
Akiva hosts.
I feel like.
Yes.
By 2020, who's Chester first?
His Alexander Chester is a person who hosts a podcast with, you'd probably like it, with Akiva called 32 Fans. It's a sports podcast, and he's been on with Rob a couple times. Like, he's like sort of like a character in the RA Renap universe. Mm-hmm. And he hosted at his house in Jersey, he hosted a beer tournament that they were recording for 32 Fans. So Missy, me, Mike Bloom, and Jordan Kalish was also there, went to this. And
fun fact, Jordan Kalish also went to Binghamton. And this is, I don't know if he's even going to know this. His freshman year roommate was Dane.
What? How have you not mentioned this before? Also, I didn't meet Dane.
I don't know. You didn't get to meet him?
Well, what was I going to do? Like, walk around to all of your groomsmen and be like, are you Dane? I don't know what Dane looks like.
I should have introduced
him. Who cares? Yeah, it's fine.
I think I was already, like, I probably added him, like, on Facebook during freshman year. I was like, oh, wow, that's the same Jordan Kalish. So, yeah.
Wait, that is absolutely insane. How has that not come up in 5.5 years of doing
this? I have no idea, but it just, like, dawned on me right now that I should probably bring it up.
Also, what happened to Dane? Is he off the challenge circuit?
No, he is. I don't know. I just haven't, I think I've only asked for one sub, so I just haven't used them.
Yeah, but usually he's your first go-to, and then you go to, like, the other people after that. No, I think you did. Yeah. Didn't you do Rourke and Jonathan once? No, you did just Jonathan.
I think just Jonathan, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to our 5-star reviewer, Eleanor Bonner. If you want to review us, the title of this is Keep Going Forever. We'll see about that. You can go to robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We don't have the drinking game this week, which I feel like is fine.
Nope.
We miss our chief party officer, but I have nothing to add.
No, nothing. Oh, but what I was going to say was I have an early 2020 resolution. I am going to try to get more into the RHAP community world.
Good luck.
That's my goal.
You know,
I'm going to try to, like, start getting involved.
You know what RHAP really needs? More white, straight, vaguely Jewish men to contribute to the podcast.
I'm a unique person, a unique social person that I can join in. So I think I'm going to look to join the off-topic group. I think that's the first step.
Did someone call you out on that? Because you got called out on that.
That I'm not part of it?
I forget what I posted about Hunter, Cohen Bryan, which we haven't talked about.
Yes, we have to talk about
that.
In
the off-topic group, and Jonathan Foreman tried to tag you, because Lord knows I didn't try to tag you. And he was like, wow, it's so on brand for Brian to not be in this group.
So I'm fixing the brand. I'm getting involved. I'm going to be there. I'm going to like start commenting in different posts and stuff like that. I might even start some conversations that aren't like, leave your questions here.
You? What's happening? I'm uncomfortable.
I don't know. I feel like there's this whole community that like I should like try to be involved in, and I'm going to try to do it. I'll probably say this. I'll do like one thing and then I'll give up the first week of January, like joining a gym. But here we go.
Well,
that's my resolution.
Well,
it's on record.
I'm going to be your RHAP agent. I'm thinking of some bookings I can get you. I think we could get
How do I join the off-topic group?
Well, that's easy. I'm going to reach out to, maybe we get Brian Cohen on Twitch. Would you do Twitch?
Oh, God.
Speaking of Brian Kalish.
Can I just like show up to like a live event? When's the next like
You're
live?
You're not going
to
show up to that.
I would have shown up to the live no-dolls. I just couldn't go this year. I wanted to. My plan was to go.
And then I don't think you were ready for me and Missy at live no-dolls this year. I wasn't ready for it.
It was when you kept telling me you're going with Missy. I was like, how do you know Missy from like Survivor like 4 years
also
ago?
I kept telling you she came 10 minutes before the show. I had texted you. I had an extra ticket 10 minutes before the show. And I was like, never mind. Missy's coming. Not.
But then you like brought up like, oh, I went drinking with Missy. I was like, why are you like friends with like this person from Survivor like 5 years ago? That's like Baylor's mom, right? I was like so confused. Like, why is she like involved?
I think
you
meant Missy from this season.
No, I thought you meant Baylor's Missy Muffin. And I'm like, what is happening?
The other thing is, I think we're... there's something on the wheel that might come up in 2020. Maybe you're having a prediction. You're having like a, what's it called? A premonition, that there's like game night where then there'll be a wheel of like podcast co-hosts. And maybe, you know, we didn't get the invite for the last time there was a podcast co-host game show, but maybe we'll get it for this time. And maybe you'll be on Renap.
I'm just glad I made the Royal Rumble.
You'll explode. Yeah. It's wild that you made the Royal Rumble.
Stunning. That's the most stunning thing that's happened to me this year. Like, among anything that I like, somehow they were going through the list of people to put in the Rumble, and somehow like they're like, oh, we should probably put in Brian.
But okay,
I was definitely number 30 on like who like when they're listing out the people, they're like, all right, we're like 28. Who else can we add? Who else is there?
So Chester was also in the Royal Rumble. So you've met.
There we go.
He was so Chester was like 20, a clown.
Chester was 29. I was 30.
Chester's, I think, the one that Rob picked up square over his head and just threw out of the ring. Spoiler alert for the Royal Rumble. If you recall that.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I'm taking this on very seriously. I'm going to be your rehab agent. And
yeah, give me some bookings.
I think by December 31st, my prediction is by December 31st, this resolution is over.
Well, no, this is a 2020 resolution.
I know,
so
but
this
I think
is like
I'm
next
gonna,
6 weeks is all free.
But I think by the end of the 6 weeks, you're going to renege on this.
sounds about right. We'll see.
Oh, a little bit of social media. We had a couple of tweets from Megan Elizabeth. Really just Marie. And heads up. I guess we haven't talked about this. Jemmy and Laurel and Nicole, did we talk about this? We'll be on X on
the
Peak.
Yeah, they're on the new X on the Beach, right?
X on the Peak, December 5th, if anyone's interested.
What a weird spot for Laurel. That, like, of all shows I would ever pencil on Laurel to be on, like, I was stunning to see her on that.
Never underestimate the lengths a woman scorned will go to get back at her ex. Mm.
And then, can we just talk about the fact that, I know it's not true, even remotely, but the fact that someone from the challenge named their kid after me I don't think I've ever been more like just stunned looking at a tweet in my entire life when you tag me that.
Is that when you saw? Okay, Brian, do you understand? I've never once felt this in my life, but I've never wanted to tweet you more. I would text you more in that moment. I almost called you, but you're on your freaking honeymoon or mini moon or whatever.
It would have been worth it.
And I was like, that- I can't intervene. But holy shit. So instead, I texted Mike Bloom. I texted Jonathan Foreman. I texted people who don't even watch the challenge, who don't know you. I was like, and people were not like Johnny's reaction last week was not enough. Like, it is absolutely insane. And I was like, I was having an out of body moment. I kept looking at it and looking away. And then I thought it was a prank. And then I had to open the article. I was like, this guy did not name his kid Cohen Bryant.
It's because like that is not a name. Like
that's like, not I'm, the like, most ridiculous part about it.
But no, because if like my name was like what's like a first last name? Like I don't know, like my name was like John Ryan, like a normal, like, and his name was like Ryan John, like that. All right, whatever.
It would still be wild.
But Cohen, like, is this the first person in the history of planet Earth with the names K O H E N?
What about Cohen Cohen for if you did you run that by Emily?
I have not, but she's gonna be very disappointed when I name our kid Barfield Hunter.
I think Lasher Alley has a good ring to it.
Or just Allie, one name, Allie Lasher.
I'm googling Cohen first name.
It's Cohen Brian. It was flabbergasting.
Brian, I'm so happy that you're reacting to this because I've had to react to like many, many people who didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Hunter's biggest fan. Like, I know he's not named after me, but he has a kid who's named after me. So I am team Young Buck. Anything Hunter is a part of, go Hunter.
I don't know if your wife wants her last name out there, but just between us then, it's very funny to think of if you named your kid Cohen with her last name and then Cohen.
Yeah, could it be more Jewish?
It's a blind item. Okay. One thing to note. Did you see Polly's personal advertisement this week?
No, God.
I think you were tagged in it. I won't read it, but basically, Polly is offering exclusive private videos, 10 for the next 10 a month for the next 3 months for the holidays at $1,000 a piece. And
if you're
interested, you can discuss with him what you want in the video, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, good Lord.
That's all I have. That's enough, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's enough. That's enough. Well, oh, man. Good to be back. I'm glad you had fun. Well, glad you not just,
just in life.
I'm glad you had fun. In life, but more importantly, at my wedding. That's what I care about.
10 out of 10.
Very happy you were there.
Despite what Akiva says.
Yes. And you didn't like spill anything on the dress or do anything like this. It was perfect. You were a perfect guest.
Thank you so much. I'll put that on my LinkedIn. Please endorse me in being a wedding guest.
Oh, man. Subscribe. RobsWebsite.com/challenge. iTunes. Follow me at Cohen with a C. Brian _. Good follow you.
At Lash Tweeds.
We'll be back for episode 13. Until then, have a good one.